I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to Exodus, Exodus 15. Thank you. Because I have a conference coming up in a couple of weeks, which has a particular theme that I've been asked to speak on, therefore I'll be taking a couple of weeks break from the Seventh Commandment series that we've been in the middle of, and it's probably not a bad idea to do that anyway. Kind of break that series up since it will be rather long. I think we did part nine, and we may be just at the middle of it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't think it'll quite be 18, but probably a good idea to take a break from it anyway. So this is a result of the fact that I'll be preaching on this theme at the conference. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 is the text for that's been provided by the man who's putting on this conference. Verse 26, it says, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh that healeth thee. The theme, and thus the title of this message, is the politics of health and energy. You read that verse, and I don't know if you really got the impact that is all that's said in that verse. But you read that verse, and you can't help but see what a beautiful promise is found therein. What a blessing, especially in light of today's health crisis in America. A health crisis that, in fact, many people today don't even know that we have in America, until it hits them or hits their home. And of course, more and more are finding out about the health crisis that we really do have, because it is more and more and more hitting more homes and more people all of the time. We'll discuss maybe a little bit more about that as we go on. But at the same time, what a beautiful promise, what a blessing is promised in that particular verse of Scripture. But at the same time, do not miss the fact that verse not only holds a promise of a blessing for Yahweh's people, but that it also lays down, or it holds within it, holds within its declaration, or even within the promise itself, a curse upon Yahweh's people as well. Because the blessing of health and wellness and energy, if you prefer, is not automatic, but instead contingent upon Israel's obedience to her God, then if we are not obedient, if we do not diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh our God, if when we do not do that which is right in His sight, and when we do not give ear to His commandments, and when we do not keep all of His statutes, as dictated in that verse, then Yahweh shall bring all the diseases or the plagues of Egypt upon us. It's not only a verse of Scripture that provides and promises a great blessing, but it also dictates a curse depending upon what we do. And just what are the diseases of Egypt, someone may ask? Well, let's look at some of the more descriptive phrases that are, that are a little more specific and yet still even then somewhat generic at the same time. Reading from Deuteronomy 28, if you want to turn there, or I'll just read these to you. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, to begin with, it says, but it shall come about, if you will not obey Yahweh your God, to observe to do all of His commandments and His statutes, with which I charge you today, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Sounds a lot like Exodus 15:26, but indeed it's expanding. And especially if you're familiar with Deuteronomy 28, it expands the curses to be much more than just those that I read or that we read about in that one verse. And it says, if you do not do these things, once again, that all of these curses will overtake you. And then in verse 21 and 22, since we're specifically talking about the diseases of Egypt, it says, Yahweh will make the pestilence cling to you until He has consumed you from off the land where you are entering to possess it. Yahweh will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat. And then in verse 27, Yahweh will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with the tumors and with the scab and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Verse 35, Yahweh will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. And then a summation is found in verses 45 and 47, where it says, so all of these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you would not obey Yahweh your God by keeping His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. And they shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever because you did not serve Yahweh your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Now, did some of that which I read, again, is still generic terms. And they're called generically the diseases of Egypt. But did some of that sound familiar to you? Do they sound like something America? Some of those things sound like maybe possibly what some Americans are suffering today. I don't know about you, but there's two or three in there that I know people that those descriptions fit today. In fact, I have some of that in my family and have in the past. But most importantly, do you notice that, in fact, if this is true, that it also sounds like Yahweh is true to His word? Again, verse 46, it says, and they shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever. One of the signs of who Israel is today is the blessings and curses. Specifically, in this case, it was speaking of the curses would follow them, to follow specifically Israel. Upon her and her descendants forever, it would be a sign upon them that in fact they are Israel in their disobedience unto their God. Because Yahweh is true to His word, the diseases that we are suffering as a people that are getting worse and worse as each decade or maybe even as each year goes by, because Yahweh is true to His word, the diseases that we are suffering are His doing. And you may not like to think about it that way. But let me tell you something. It's in that that we can rejoice. Because if they are His doing, or maybe I should put it this way, if they're His judgments because of our doing, or lack thereof, depending what the case may be, and not just random acts of nature or happenstance with no rhyme or reason, we can rejoice, because therein we also know that ultimately there is deliverance and healing and yes, a cure from all that afflicts us as a people. That is, if or when we recognize what the real cause for all of these afflictions really are, and then seek the only solution to our problems, our woes, our miseries, and our afflictions. Praise Yahweh, you know, that He is the cause. Because in that there is hope. If we'll get this whole thing figured out, if our people will figure out what the real cause is and what the real answer is. Praise Yahweh also for those who are providing our people with alternative remedies from the slash, burn, and drug practices of today's American Medical Association. Because let me tell you, we need alternatives from what is being provided to us by the AMA. However, and as I've pointed out on other occasions, let me be the first to say that some of what our medical doctors do are a blessing from Yahweh, especially in the area of restorative medicine. And by that I'm referring to those doctors who specialize in structural repair or reconstruction. And as most of you know here, I know firsthand. And I applaud that part of medicine. You know, I praise Yahweh that He endowed Dr. Johnson in Fort Collins, Colorado many years ago with the ability to take my shattered leg and rather than cutting it off just above the knee like I thought they were going to have to, he was able to reconstruct it and I only lost an inch and an eighth in my left leg. I praise Yahweh that He blessed Dr. Wise at one point in my teenage years with the knowledge that my ruptured spleen had to be excised, or I wouldn't be here today preaching to you. And time would fail me, as the Hebrew author once said, if I were to tell of Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so, anybody who knows my medical history, time would fail me to tell of all of those guys that I could praise for the knowledge and the understanding in that area of medicine today that they were expertise in. Nevertheless, although I can praise that, I mean, I'm standing here like I am because of them. But nevertheless, there are facets of modern medicine that we need to be delivered from, let me tell you. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking what you needed to be delivered from was bull riding. Well, most of you know, too, that although I only got my right eye's glass, my spleen's been removed, my back's been broken, a disc has been removed, my left leg's been shattered or shortened because of being shattered, none of that happened bull riding. That was the safest thing I ever did. So you can't blame it on that. Now listen to me. While it is true that reconstructive medicine is sometimes almost miraculous, the things that they can do, and it almost becomes more and more miraculous as time's going on. It's almost like there's two facets of the medical association today. One facet that's getting more miraculous and doing greater and greater things, while the other one is going in the opposite direction. But while it's true that reconstructive surgery and medicine is nearly miraculous, other aspects of modern medicine is killing us. Flat out killing us. And you don't have to take this ex-bull rider's word on it. Some honest doctors are some of their worst critics. For example, consider the testimony of Dr. Alonzo Shadman. He wrote the following, quote, I have practiced medicine for 43 years. I built and constructed my own hospital of 125 beds and had a courtesy staff of 400 allopathic doctors. I did the surgery for nearly all of these men, and during all of these years, I have seen nearly every doctor in Boston in action. I have observed their limitations, their inefficiencies, and their awful blunders, and I do not believe I exaggerate when I say that orthodox medicine is killing more people yearly than the war and diseases combined. End of quote. Now, could that actually be true? Dr. Shadman made that admission over 50 years ago. But tragically, America's medicine has not fared any better in recent times. In fact, it's only gotten worse. The April 14th, 1998 issue of the Journal of American Medical Association, the Journal of the American Medical Association, normally known as JAMA, J-A-M-A, published an article admitting, keep in mind this was just 2 years ago, admitting that adverse drug reactions, which they call ADRs, and listen to me, are among the top causes of death in the United States. Quote, Chicago, adverse drug reactions, ADRs, in the U.S. hospitals may be responsible for more than 100,000 deaths nationwide each year, making it one of the leading causes of death, according to an article of the April 14th issue of the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA. Later, the same article said the authors estimated that 2,216,000 hospital patients experienced a serious ADR. So we're talking about people who didn't die, but still suffered a serious ADR, adverse drug reaction. 2 million. I've always read that wrong until this time. I was thinking it was 216,000. It's 2,216,000 hospital patients experienced a serious ADR, and 106,000 deaths were caused by ADRs in the United States. This could account for 4.6% of all causes of recorded death in 1994, making these reactions between the fourth and sixth leading cause of death, end of quote, death in America. In an article in the Idaho Observer entitled JAMA Stats Tell Tale, Doctors Kill More People Than Guns, those nasty old guns that they don't think we should have. No one should have a gun in their household. Let me tell you this, nobody should have a doctor in their household either then. The Idaho Observer, the article entitled, JAMA Stats Tell Tale, Doctors Kill More People Than Guns and Traffic Accidents. End of quote. Let's get rid of them all. Guns, doctors, and automobiles, right? Don Harkins reported on additional, in that article, Don Harkins reported on additional medical casualties, not just the drug-related ones. Listen to this. Quote, the top five causes of death in the United States in order are tobacco, alcohol, medical malpractice. Number three is how he has it listed, traffic and firearms. Later in the article, another JAMA statistic stated that 1/5, 20% of all people who see an allopath will suffer an iatrogenic, I believe that's the right pronunciation for that, or doctor-induced injury. Let me read that again. JAMA statistics stated that 1/5, 20% of all people who see an allopath will suffer an iatrogenic doctor-induced injury. Look what they did to Joe after his heart. Was it heart surgery? They gave him the medicine that was the exact opposite of what he was supposed to have during one of his surgeries. That's all right. You don't have to. But we've got it right here. I mean, they almost killed him because they prescribed the wrong drug. Again, according to JAMA, 16% of all people who die in the hospital are determined by autopsy to have died of something other than their admission diagnosis. Another trade publication, American Medical News, stated that 28% of people admitted to hospitals are there because they had suffered an adverse reaction to prescribed drugs, end of quote. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds to me that they're admitting that it's one of the places that ought to be avoided at almost nearly all costs is our doctors and hospitals. They are not a very safe place to be. NBC Nightly News, November 29, 1999, reported on similar information. Quote, November 29th, in a blistering report released Monday, a prestigious medical group said America's entire health care system needs dramatic changes to cut the enormous number of deaths and injuries from medical errors. The group said hospitals should report mistakes to the federal government, not keep them secret as they often do now. Don't let that get by you. Later, experts say between 44,000 and 98,000 Americans die from mistakes every year in hospitals alone. That makes hospital errors the eighth leading causes of death, actually ahead of traffic accidents, breast cancer, and AIDS. Later, according to the Institute of Medicine's figures, medical mistakes could rank eighth among the nation's leading causes of death. Other studies double that estimate, placing it above accidents as a killer of Americans, end of quote. Now, add the figures together. Excuse me. Deaths caused by ADRs and deaths caused by medical mistakes. Using the most conservative of their figures, they then total 150,000 deaths a year caused by modern medical practices, which then you add the two together, which then ranks, using only their conservative figures, which then ranks death at the hands of modern medicine as the number four killer of Americans every year. And if the truth be known, it's much worse than that, because as by their own admissions, many of the deaths are never reported, or they're assigned as the cause as being something other than what it was. Now let's go back to the drug aspect of modern medicine in particular, and let's just call it what it is. It's legalized drug pushing. And don't, again, confuse the terms legal and lawful. God, there's only one lawmaker, and that's Yahweh. And thus, anything else is not lawful. Anything that's contrary to his laws is not lawful. Now, they may legalize it. Homosexuality has been legalized. They're trying to legalize sodomite marriages. But that doesn't make it lawful, because only God determines what is lawful and what is not. So keep that in mind as I use the term. But let's just call it what it is. It's legalized drug pushing. The pharmaceutical corporations and their minions are principally drug pushers. That's what they are. Isn't that what they do? What do? They push drugs. And you can just ask any doctor or any nurse or any office manager of any hospital or doctor's office or health clinic. Pharmaceutical companies push, and I mean push, drugs. Linda, having been a nurse, can tell you just how much it is that they push drugs. They just happen to do it with the blessings of today's government. By the way, from time to time you hear someone speak about or use the term the drugging of America. Heard that, I'm sure, the drugging of America. Well, who do you think is drugging America more? The illegal drug dealers that lurk in America's city's alleys, or the pharmaceutical companies who have multi-million dollar buildings in the most prominent locations in the most prominent of America's cities? Who do you think is drugging America more? Let me ask you this. Who is responsible? And this figure, some of you probably heard me use some of those quotes before and some of the figures before, but I had never thought about it. I've never seen anybody make this comparison and use this figure. And I think this figure is much more alarming than the ones I already gave to you. Let me ask you this. Who's responsible for more drug-related deaths? Well, we already know that the AMA has admitted to at least 106,000 drug-related deaths in 1994 alone. Let's just say maybe yearly. I'm sure it's gone up. But we'll use that figure from 1994. 106. They've already admitted to 106,000 drugs. And I thought, well, I wonder how many drug-related their deaths is from illegal drug pushing. Anybody want to take a stab at it? I went to the internet and did a search on drug deaths. And here is what I found. Very first article listed. Drug deaths at record high. Prices drop is the name of the article. Now, you're not only going to get a figure, you're going to get a figure from those who say that drug deaths are at an absolute record high. Here's what it says, quote, as illicit drugs prices have fallen, who is it who determines what's an illicit drug and what is not anyway? You know, what makes a drug illicit? Yeah. Now, who's the FDA? But anyway, quote, as illicit drug prices have fallen, drug-related deaths are increasing to a new record high, the Boston Globe reported March 22nd, I believe that was of this year. According to a White House report, here comes the figure. It is tragic, nonetheless. According to a White House report, 15,973 people died from drug-related deaths in 1997. Illegal drug-related causes in 1997. So we're talking 3 years later than the figure I gave you in 1994. Therefore, now listen to me, we're talking about 90,000 more deaths a year at the hands of quote-unquote legalized drug pushers associated with the AMA than at the hands of the illegal drug pushers that everyone is told to be so concerned about for the welfare of America. Now that figure ought to alarm us that there are 90,000 more deaths a year, and probably a whole lot more than that, that are caused by the AMA and their medical doctors and their drug-pushing pharmaceutical companies than there are with all of the illegal drugs there are in America. And I'm not trying to promote illegal drug pushing. Don't take that wrong. But let's keep it in balance. And where the real criminality here is taking place. No wonder Yahweh is so hard on the pharmacy industry and His Word. That's right. Yahweh indicts and condemns pharmaceutical companies in His Word. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, pharmacies, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders. drunkenness, rebellions, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Or Revelation 18, verse 23, where it says, and the light of the candle shall shine no more in all of thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy, speaking of mystery Babylon in this case, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy pharmacies were all the nations deceived. End of quote. Now, for someone who's unaware of where I'm going with this, they will likely respond by declaring that that's not how their Bible reads. That their Bible uses the words witchcraft and sorcery in place of the word pharmacy, where I had it in those particular passages. But that's only because they're reading it in the English. However, in the Greek, in both instances, it's the Greek word pharmakia, from which our English word pharmacy comes, or is derived. And isn't it interesting that the translators our English versions of our Bibles, chose to translate what is pharmakia, what is pharmacy to us today, that they chose to translate that Greek word as witchcraft and sorcery. Now, why would they do that? That seems a little odd. You know, maybe even somewhat of a stretch, someone might think. Well, not at all. Listen to Webster's 1828 dictionary. This was Webster's original dictionary of the English language. Here's the 1828 definition for pharmaceutical, or at least part of it. To practice, this is 1828, not that long ago, to practice witchcraft or use medicine. By that time, it had become interchangeable. Wow, 1828, that's still a ways back, right? How about Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, 1975, for the word pharmacy? Pharmacia, administration of drugs, from Greek pharmakia, from pharmakuin, to administer drugs, from pharmakon, magic charm, poison, drug, akin to lithberti, to practice magic, end of quote. Now you might say, well, that's a little toned down from witchcraft to magic. Well, maybe not. When Webster's 1975 dictionary's definition of magic is taken into consideration. Here's the definition for magic. Magic, you know, what do we think of when we think of magic? We'll finally get to it, but it's the very last thing they say. Even in the 1975 edition. Magic. Now, it gives a bunch of derivations from where it comes from, different Greek and Latin words. And it finally, because I'm going to come back to this, I want to point out one of them. And finally, at the end, it says from, which is a Greek word, magus. Magic comes from the Greek word magus. And then it says, comma, sorcerer. So right there, you get an idea that originally magic was akin to sorcery. Of Iranian akin, and so forth and so on. And then number one, it says, the use of means as charms or spells, believed to have supernatural power over natural forces. B, magic rites or incantations. 2A, an extraordinary power or influence, seemingly from a supernatural force. B, something that seems to cast a spell. Well, I tell you what, the AMA is casting a spell today over our people. They are under a spell. And then lastly, number three, the art of producing illusions by sleight of hand. Moreover, magus, the Greek word from which magic comes, is also the Greek word from which sorcerer is translated from in Acts chapter 13 when speaking of Elymas, the sorcerer who Paul encountered. In Revelation again, Revelation 18 again, we are told that Mystery Babylon's pharmaceutical practices, if you will, deceived people. In Revelation 18 again, we're essentially told, if you want to use the Greek, using the Greek word itself, we're told that Mystery Babylon's pharmacy or pharmaceutical practices deceive people. And isn't this precisely what many or most drugs produced by the pharmaceutical companies
today do? Don't they deceive people? As they mask the physical problem, they deceive the people into believing that they are cured. When all that it does, almost in every case, with at least the AMA's drugs, they simply mask the problem, while at the same time, often causing or creating additional problems that then have to be also masked by additional drugs that cause additional problems that have to be masked by other drugs that eventually kill you. But, of course, the drugs are never at blame, right? You talk about deception. You talk about sorcery. You talk about witchcraft. And you talk about idolatry. It's tragic that so many Americans have made an idol a god of the AMA, or our modern medical medicine, and what they have. Even to the extent of believing that their physicians have the ability to predict life and death. Something that only God can do. Now, keeping in mind that the word witchcraft in Galatians 5 is translated from the Greek word pharmakia, consider that the prophet Samuel related witchcraft to idolatry. Okay? 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness." Rebellion and stubbornness are pretty close kin, I'd say. And it says, "And stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry and idolatry." So rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is idolatry. So there's a kin relationship there between the two. Now the Hebrew word kesem, translated witchcraft in 1 Samuel 15:23, is most often translated in the King James Old Testament as divination. Consider the following definitions for divination. Divination, this is from, again, Webster's 1828 English Dictionary of the English Language. Divination, the act of divining, a foretelling of future events, experiments or observations, I'm skipping a little bit in between here that's not pertinent, as by sacrifices, and then it ends, or near the end it says, and this is especially interesting in light of what we're talking about, it says observation of entrails, intestines. End of quote, or at least what I'm quoting to you, Webster's 1828 dictionary. Also, divination, Webster's 1975 New Collegiate Dictionary. Divination, the art or practice that seeks to foresee or foretell future events and discover hidden knowledge, end of quote. Now those definitions, and I don't say that it fits these definitions completely and fully, and it's the modern equivalent of it completely, but it's worth noting that those definitions sound very much like what many modern medical doctors do when they predict or foretell how long a patient has to live, something, again, that only Yahweh knows for certain. And regrettably, and oftentimes tragically, because they believe in this God, this doctor, and what he says to them, regrettably and oftentimes tragically, patients accept their doctor's predictions as gospel instead of looking to Yahweh as their healer. And sometimes they are self-fulfilling prophecies, if you will, or predictions, because they believe. You believe that you only have a certain amount of time to live. You sincerely believe that. It's likely that you'll die. But how many people have been told, not near as many who have been told and believed and died, but how many people have been told similar things by doctors? They said, "I'm not dying." And they don't die. They live and they go on. How tragic. And such people are modern examples of Asa, king of Judah, who in 2 Chronicles 16:12 were told, "Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to Yahweh, but to the physicians." You see how the physicians and their medicine become an idol to the people? It was for old King Asa. In spite of how bad that it got, he didn't go to Yahweh to begin with. And not that God can't, that Yahweh can't sometimes use physicians, at least in some cases. But instead of going to Yahweh first, he said, no matter how bad it went, he just kept going to the physicians. Sound like modern America. It sounds like modern America to me today. A commentary on our people today. And the outcome of such second commandment transgression, because that's what it often is with our people, it's flat out idolatry, is often the same as the four part consequence initially endured by the woman with the issue of blood in the Gospel of Mark. And I know I shared this some of this with you previously, but let me turn and we'll look at it. Because, and I have my father right now. I mean, he is a modern fulfillment of everything that I'm sharing with you. He is a modern fulfillment of this passage. Mark chapter 5, and beginning with verse 25. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had," here we go, four-part consequence, "and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had," isn't that the case? Especially if you don't have insurance. And of course, if you've got insurance and the insurance rate goes up, and they still have to spend about everything you've got. "And she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." That is played out time and time and time again with our people today. It's being played out by my father. He's went for one problem, and ever since he went, he's got nothing but worse. And they're bleeding them dry of money, and they're giving him this drug for that problem, and then that creates problems, and I don't know how many drugs they've had him on. Because it's this drug to take care of this problem, and then that drug causes another problem, so they got to have drugs for that. And I already went through the scenario. You know what it is. And he's nothing bettered. Oh, he's right now feeling a little better because they've now got a drug that's the patch they've got on to take away the pain. But it'll wear through its cycle, and who knows how long he'll be right back where he was, and worse. I mean, he went from a vibrant, very active, still training horses, man within a year and a half, to a very old man that can hardly walk because of all that they've done to him. Modern fulfillment of that. And that happens time and time and time again. Why? Well, it's a consequence of the sin of our idolatry in this particular profession. Moses included the following admonition as a portion of his second giving of the law. In Deuteronomy 18:9-12. Listen carefully, especially to the middle part of this. It says, "When thou art come into the land which Yahweh thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found," here we go, "among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto Yahweh." End of quote. Now, again, I'm not saying that what I'm going to share with you is an absolute fulfillment of those passages, and it's what God had in mind at that time, because they weren't even in existence at that time. But again, consider how some of that which is listed in verse 10 closely resembles some of the practices of modern medicine today. He taught Moses spoke of passing through the fire. You think of anything in modern medicine that might kind of be an equivalent to that? Passing through the fire? How about chemotherapy? Or radiation treatments? Or shock therapy? Maybe. Divination, we've already talked about that as pharmakia or drug peddling. Observer of the times, we've talked about that. The predictions of life and death by doctors today, rather than pointing them to God as the great healer. I mean, not that God always chooses to heal, but instead of at least pointing them to God, they say, "Oh, you only got so long to live, you poor, poor thing, you." The English word enchanter, that's also found in verse 10, is translated from the Hebrew word nakash, and is defined by James Strong as the following: nakash, a primitive root properly to hiss. Now, snakes, of course, hiss, right? And is it just by coincidence that the AMA symbol is a snake climbing a pole? That symbol, of course, is reminiscent of the serpent pole that Moses raised up one time in Israel's ancient history in the wilderness for Israel's healing. However, later in Israel's history, this same pole became an idol to the people, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, destroyed it from out of the temple. He got rid of it and destroyed it because it had become an idol. Now follow with me in this. Both Yeshua and John the Immerser identified the Pharisees of their day as vipers, i.e. serpents. Depending on your version, King James is vipers, New American Standard is serpents. Snakes. And you can read these for yourselves. Mark 3:7, John 12:34, 24:33, and Luke 3 and verse 7. Okay, hold on to that. We're talking about snakes. We're talking about the word enchanter, which comes from nakash, which means to hiss. We're talking about the medical profession that has their symbol, a snake climbing a pole. In the Pharisees, the sociological background of their faith, Rabbi Louis Finkelstein identified today's Pharisees. Quote, Phariseeism became Talmudism. Talmudism became medieval rabbinism, and medieval rabbinism became modern rabbinism. But throughout these changes of name, the spirit of the ancient Pharisee survives unaltered. When the Jew, speaking of the Jew today, studies the Talmud, he is actually repeating the arguments used in the Palestinian academies. End of quote. In other words, at the time of Christ. In other words, Phariseeism, or the Pharisees who were identified as vipers, serpents, or snakes, of Yahshua's day, Phariseeism evolved into modern Talmudic Judaism practiced by today's Jews, according to Rabbi Finkelstein, who was chosen as one of the top Jewish authorities in his day by the Kahila of his day. He was a grand rabbi that wrote this particular book. Now, with that in mind, is it also just by coincidence that there is such a preponderance of Jews in the profession, or Pharisees if you prefer, in the profession of modern medicine whose symbol is that of climbing a pole, whose predecessors were identified as snakes? Now you can do with that with what you want to do with it, but I thought it was kind of interesting. And who also, for the most part, hate Christianity and Christianity's God. The Talmud declares that the Achim, a term used for Christians in their writings, that the Achim are not to be healed. Maybe that's why there's not a whole lot of healing today in the American Medical Association. Here's the quote, Ioridea 158:1 from the Talmud, the Achim are not to be cured even for money. Or the Christians are not to be cured. Here's a second testimony to it. On January 13, 1489, the Jewish rabbi of Arles in Provence, France, wrote to the Grand Sanhedrin in Constantinople, Turkey, for advice. And one of the recommendations returned by the grand satraps and rabbis was that the Jews should become doctors and apothecaries, that is, pharmacists. Here's the quote, quote, make your sons doctors and apothecaries that they may take away Christians' lives, end of quote. I don't know if they know that today, but that was a part of their policy at one time. Makes you wonder anyway. Now, without question, there is a place for some of modern medicine's practices. But let me tell you, I'd be cautious. whether these quotes that I just shared with you from the Talmud and from the grand rabbis in 1489 is actually a policy of theirs today, I don't know. But from the very fact that they're killing 150,000 people a year, I'd be cautious. I'd be real cautious. In fact, I think I'd make it the last resort. And it should be a Christian's option only after he has sought healing from Yahweh himself. James chapter 5 and verses 12 through 16. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save. New American Standard, I believe, says, restore the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. End of quote. And that's why we, in many of the conferences, and we've done it here too, but at the conferences we almost always make that available for our people, that we can lay hands upon them. Does God always choose to heal? No. But we have seen some miraculous healings. I've shared some of them with you in the past. Keith and his wife, lost her name and their last name, but had been trying, as I've shared with you in the past, had been trying for years and gone to all the experts, all the physicians, to be able to have a baby. Finally decided, well, let's do it God's way. And had some of us lay hands, anoint them with oil, and lay hands on them. And Cindy was her name, McAllister. I think Cindy McAllister got pregnant that night. Because 9 months later, almost to the day, she had her first child, of the last I heard, was 3 or 4. And she did it God's way. That doesn't always happen. There's been people, we've prayed over ladies who have asked for that very same thing several, many times. And God says no, for whatever reason. We saw a boy who... we had prayed over. He had a massive cyst that he had on the side of his face. I mean, it stuck out here like this. We prayed over him 2 or 3 different times. And it was the third or the fourth time that God said no all the times before. And we didn't see it happen at the moment. But during the next week, it was gone. It left. It subsided and went away. God doesn't always choose to heal, but let me tell you, he should be the one we go to first, because he's the great healer. If instead a person seeks first the physicians, he may very likely, and probably is, committing idolatry. God deliver us from the AMA idolatry, and God deliver us from the AMA's murderous practices. You say, what do you mean, murderous practices? You know, they don't intend to make these mistakes in their medical practice. Well, I'm not talking about this. Well, they don't intend for the drugs to kill people. Well, I don't know for sure about that. Maybe some do. But I don't know. But I'm not talking about that when I'm talking about their murderous practices. Where is the majority of today's infanticides taking place? But in the AMA-approved hospitals and doctors' offices and medical clinics. And I would be remiss if I also weren't to address, especially at this moment, this particular day, if I wasn't to also address this stem cell research that's being discussed so much right now, that President Bush just this last week made a public announcement on, if you happen to hear it. Now, granted, President Bush probably didn't go anywhere near as far as probably President Clinton would have if he were still in office. But he certainly opened the door, instead of outright condemning this research as murder. Bush played the politician and placed his position as president over as more important than the lives of who knows how many infants will be murdered as a result of his equivocation and compromise. And did you notice that those who know that there is big money in this research were the very next day already parading their poster girl and their poster boys before the American public? Mary Tyler Moore, Michael J. Fox, and Christopher Reeves. But let me tell you something. Such people, even if they are famous, and even if you can sympathize with their plights, or people who have the same plight, as paralyzed, or has, what's it that Michael J. Fox has, Parkinson's disease, or whatever it is, or whatever it is, even if you can sympathize with them about the plight of those people, let me tell you something. They are no different than the men on the Titanic who masqueraded as women in order to get one of the last seats on the few lifeboats that were in existence. There is no difference between the two. They're never put in that light, but that is indeed what they are. If such people are truly all that concerned about the lives of others with the same or other same with the same diseases or other diseases, then why don't they offer themselves instead of others to be sacrificed for the cause? They're no different than the likes of the late Jacques Cousteau, who promote infanticide and euthanasia because of quote-unquote overpopulation. But once again, you never hear any of these great quote-unquote philanthropists ever offering themselves for the sake of the cause. You know, if we're overpopulated, why do they get to pick who it is? Why don't they, if they're concerned about overpopulation, pick yourself instead of somebody else that has to be put to death for their cause. Now praise Yahweh. I'm going to cover one more thing here before we quit. Praise Yahweh for alternative medicine. However, this needs to be understood as well, and that is that alternative medicines still only provide a band-aid for the overall health problems that we're facing here in America and the rest of the world. Alternative medicine, although it does provide some solutions for a remnant of God's people, it is not the solution for our national health problems. And some people are convinced that it's out here in this alternative medicine field that are all the answers to the problems, one way or the other. They are not the answer to our problems. The solution to our problems is found in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Let me read it to you again. Exodus 15, 26, it says, "If thou will diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee that I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh that healeth thee." Or I think it's safe to also say from our standpoint, because of our previous disobedience, that if we will repent of it and turn back to all of this that he's described in that particular verse, that he will then take away our diseases. because he is Yahweh, who is the great healer and who can heal us. Praise his holy name for that. Furthermore, alternative medicine, just like the AMA, can also become an idol, and for some people already has. Just like many patriots have made an idol of the Constitution in their reaction to today's non-constitutional government, in the same fashion, many health practitioners and their disciples have made an idol of alternative medicine in their reaction to the AMA. Be careful. Be careful. Be cautious. Because Yahweh is our only king. Yahweh is our only judge, our lawgiver, and yes, ultimately, our only healer. And until we as a people return to him and his laws, his health laws, his agricultural laws that are key to our health, and all of his laws, alternative medicine will be nothing more than a band-aid for our people. And the plagues of Egypt will remain upon us. Let us, God help us, return to him and his laws. Let's stand and close this in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again and praise your holy name, and thank you, Father, for the answers that are found with you and in your word and in your law. Again, I pray, as I so many times have before, bring our people back to sanity, and Lord, by that, meaning let them come back to you. Draw them to you and to the foot of the cross where their only hope is found in and through the precious blood shed at Calvary. Bless this message, Lord, and use it too, Father, to awaken our people and to draw them back to you, to your ways and your laws. Let it be so, we ask it in Yeshua the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And we're dismissed.